Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Update, where we'll bring you more details on some of those stories that have been making the headlines today. And first, as we continue our countdown to the House of Keys general election coming up in September, we're focusing on the issues you say matter most. Tonight, the spotlight is on government headcount and the state of our health services. Also this evening, the Isle of Man's being urged to stay vigilant against environmental and wildlife crime. In education, there's a significant development. The island's only independent schools confirmed it will begin offering A-levels from September. And lace up those trainers. Residents across the island are being encouraged to get moving and give Parkrun a try this weekend. We'll have the weather, the traffic and the travel. And if you'd like to get in touch, text 166 177. We'll start as ever with a roundup of the main news headlines with Chanel Fastamai.
Fastamai. All steam packet sailings scheduled for Sunday have been cancelled. The ferry operator has made the announcement this afternoon, citing the forecast adverse weather conditions. An additional sailing to Heysham will be held on Saturday evening at 8 o'clock. The company says passengers may amend their bookings free of charge through their online account or alternatively by contacting the reservations team. New figures released under Freedom of Information Act show more than 500 complaints were made about bus driver conduct on the island over a five-year period. The data published by the Department of Infrastructure covers complaints lodged between 2021 and 2025, including concerns about driving standards, customer interaction and behaviour. And work is underway to evaluate options for work to restore Tramway Terrace. The Department of Infrastructure has confirmed to Manx Radio that an impact assessment is underway and the site is being reviewed. In international news, snow and ice warnings have been extended until tomorrow afternoon for large parts of the UK. Tens of thousands of homes are still without power after the first named storm of the year brought heavy snow and 100-mile-per-hour winds. One of the owners of a Swiss spa, which was destroyed by a fire at New Year, killing 40 people, has been arrested. According to local reports, Jax Moretti was detained because he was deemed a potential flight risk. And the UK government says X could be banned if the social media site fails to stop its AI tool producing deepfake images of women and girls. The Prime Minister says measures introduced by the company to tackle the issue are not a solution. Those are your headlines. News at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Chanel. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. No weather warnings over here, remaining mostly dry this evening. Light winds, some clear intervals developing at times. So there might be a slight frost in prone locations. Minimum temperatures tonight around 1. They'll recover slightly overnight as that cloud cover increases. Then tomorrow, scattered showers at first. They'll become more isolated throughout the morning. Sunny intervals developing after that. Light winds, they'll settle to the south later on in the day. Top temperatures tomorrow around 6. It's going to rain overnight into Sunday, though, as that wind further strengthens. And then Sunday is going to be pretty miserable. Mostly wet and windy with a strong to gale force southerly wind. Periods of rain that will be heavy at times. It will clear later on Sunday evening. We know the steam packet sailings on Sunday have been cancelled. Temperatures on Sunday, though, are going to be quite a bit milder. They will be around 9. Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
You're listening to Update. It's just gone 3.5 minutes past 5. Well, this week we've been examining the key issues likely to shape the debate ahead of this year's House of Keys general election in September. This is all based on a survey where you told us what are going to be the most important issues. And alongside government spending and public sector headcount, today's focus turns to health and social care. Whether it features in candidates' manifestos or comes up on the doorstep, healthcare is expected to be a recurring theme throughout the campaign, as Siobhan Fletcher reports.
If I was to place a bet on what I think would be the top priority issue at the general election this year, it would definitely be healthcare. It has a survey of our listeners placed Manx Care and Nobles Hospital as the number one topic that they cared the most about. And it's easy to see why. From proposed strikes by healthcare professionals to a very public row between the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care over the communication of cuts, the island's health services seem to be perpetually under the spotlight. Indeed, the debate rattles on around budget time every year, with the key question, is the island's health and social care body overspending or is it underfunded? The message from the Cannon administration has remained consistent for many months now, with the chief minister warning that healthcare spending on the island cannot continue to rise at its current pace without difficult choices being made elsewhere.
There has to be some financial control applied to our health system. The arguments about whether it is underfunded are not that they need to be looked at in the medium to longer term. But whatever the case, the department, the healthcare system must operate to the budgets it is given.
Now, this year's electioneering from sitting members and ambitious candidates alike will undoubtedly focus on the Mersey Internal Audit Agency's report. Essentially, at the tail end of last year, that independent report found that the current health and social care model in the Isle of Man is not operating as originally intended following the establishment of Manx Care. The MIAA report was debated by Timwald back in December to mixed results. Members agreed to receive the report and voted for the DHSC to report back to next month's sitting of Timwald to debate with a full response and implementation plan. It remains to be seen what the DHSC will bring to Timwald in February and whether it will be successfully implemented before the general election.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting there. Well, 18 months after the Chief Minister pledged to rein in public sector headcount, questions remain about where things now stand. So figures show staff numbers rose by around 60 over the last two quarters of 2025, while more than 130 roles are currently under review. And at the same time, 44 vacancies are being advertised on the government's jobs portal. Well, with public sector headcount emerging as one of those key election issues, according to the data from our survey, Christian has been talking to Prospects McHugh and National Secretary Jez Stewart.
While we use terms like efficiency savings, personally, I believe that we should use the proper word, cuts, because that's generally what it will manifest itself as. Coming up to election year, I think that we'll see a lot more reference to managing the government headcount, however they want to do that. Probably because it's the topic that's going to get votes. Now, I think what it does is cause a lot of unrest amongst members with worry and additional stress.
And when a post becomes vacant and isn't refilled to meet a headcount target, what generally happens to the workload? Are your members experiencing an almost creeping increase in responsibilities?
Yes, definitely, 100%. Things are appearing in job descriptions through stealth, more than anything, not through negotiation.
If, obviously, the government does have a target to meet £50 million worth of savings by 2030, how do you think it would be able to go about doing that without cutting services if headcount was to remain at its current level?
I think that's a very difficult question. I understand the public service provision on this island is very good, and that's been achieved through decisions that have been made over the last 30 or 40 years to keep things in public ownership and to ensure that you've got a directly employed workforce in the main to undertake those public services that people, I think, on the island value. I think there is a nervousness about some of the pronouncements that are being made, particularly as you move, you know, in the next 12 months to an election. And it's quite easy to say, in very general terms, how savings will be made and what that will mean without necessarily commenting on what the consequences. That nervousness is starting to creep in because of some of the statements that are being made, which are fairly glib, if I'm being honest, and don't talk about the implications.
That is Prospects McHugh and the National Secretary there, Jez Stewart. So we have got the Manx Radio election website, which is up and running now. You can find that on the homepage of Manx Radio. There have been a couple of declarations. The details that we have so far about those candidates are on there as well. It's coming up to 5:10. So there's a new report which is warning that environmental and wildlife crime could be generating illicit financial flows that pass through international finance sectors, and that does include the Isle of Man. And Lewis is with me now. Fastamai, Lewis, would you just first of all just explain what this report is all about?
Yeah, Fastamai, Beth. So the report has been published by the Isle of Man Financial Intelligence Unit, and it looks at how crimes such as illegal fishing, wildlife trafficking, logging, mining and pollution can be linked to money laundering, tax fraud and organised crime. It's designed to help the island's regulated sector spot suspicious financial activity connected to environmental crime.
So then this isn't just about crimes happening locally then?
No, not at all. So while many of these offences take place overseas, the FIU says the proceeds can be moved through complex company structures, offshore accounts and professional services. As an international finance centre, the Isle of Man could be used as a conduit for that money if controls aren't strong enough.
So what did the FIU find out about awareness on the island about this?
So as part of the work, the FIU surveyed 227 organisations across sectors including banking, insurance, trust and corporate services and e-gaming. Most respondents said they only somewhat understood environmental crime, and many admitted they don't routinely consider it as a possible trigger for money laundering. The survey also found that most organisations don't offer specific training or use dedicated warning signs to identify these risks.
Okay, so what sort of warning signs does the report highlight then?
It includes anonymised case studies ranging from suspected overfishing and habitat damage on the island to international wildlife trafficking and illegal logging. It points to red flags like unexplained cash deposits, opaque ownership structures, early cashing in of long-term investments, and the use of intermediaries to hide who really owns assets.
So then, with this, what is the overall message, would you say, from the FIU?
The FIU says there's a clear need for better guidance, training and vigilance. It stresses that understanding how environmental crime generates and moves money is crucial to protecting the island's reputation and meeting its international anti-money laundering obligations.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. As ever, you can find out more on the Manx Radio website. It's 11 and a half minutes past five and the local law firm Simcox Advocates has successfully secured the return of 10...
Chris Brooks, head of litigation and dispute resolution at Simcox, acted for the client, with Ian Whitehurst of UK-based Exchange Chambers providing advice as counsel. The work focused on both the legal basis for continued detention of cryptocurrency where the asset holder was not suspected of criminal conduct and the ability to make application to seek their return. During proceedings, particular emphasis was placed on statutory and legal compliance by the relevant law enforcement agency and the strength of the evidence to support their actions. The matter illustrates the increasing tension between existing and very complex statutory frameworks and the practical realities of digital asset enforcement. Following the case, Chris Brooks told Manx Radio the mechanisms for challenging search and seizure in the context of a money laundering investigation are complex and opaque, and it's vital that there's a clear path to do so in a free society. He said he was pleased to have been able to assist someone innocently caught up in a money laundering investigation and facilitate a return of their digital assets.
Simon Richardson reporting.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So the main thing this evening is the steam packet sailings over the weekend. They've all been cancelled on Sunday. That is because of the adverse weather. There's going to be pretty strong winds on Sunday. If you're affected by that, do get in touch with the steam packet. Looking at the airport, some of the flights there are affected by the storms that are happening in the UK. So again, if you are expecting to travel this evening, do take a look at all the information on the airport information website. Just things to look out for on the road. Nothing on the police pages this evening, but in Braddon until next Friday, there's that short stretch of Saddle Road, which is now one way at the junction with the New Castletown Road, is causing a few issues around there. So traffic from the New Castletown Road won't be able to turn on to Saddle Road. It's being diverted by a quarter bridge and Braddon Bridge, and this is for repairs to a roadside wall. And also still those temporary lights on Cool Road, that's near the business park, 24 hours a day for work on the pavements there.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's coming up to 5:15 and the island's only independent school has announced it'll begin offering A-levels from September. King William's College will offer the courses in a blended approach, as they put it, alongside the International Baccalaureate Diploma programme. Now, it's in a partnership with the King's Inter High online school and all the lessons will be taught virtually from a newly created hub on the campus. Principal Damien Henderson has been telling us more.
Firstly, the students will have a mixture or blend of online instruction, That's their academic instruction with King's Inter High. And they will also have pastoral and co-curricular instruction, education, as normal KWC students. So they'll have their lessons in the online hub room and everything else in person as a normal sixth form student here would. But where the IB students would go to in-person lessons, they will go and log on to their online A-level lessons in this specially created hub, supported by a teaching and learning assistant.
Why is this something that KWC wanted to introduce here and wanted to offer?
For some years, we've had comments that not every child is a wildly enthusiastic about the IB, plus the fee that we're having to charge nowadays post the introduction of VAT is outside the reach of many household budgets. So this is addressing both of those things head on. We're taking the bull by the horns and innovating. So it's the appropriate move at the appropriate time for both of those key areas of subject choice and affordability.
There will be some people, though, who raise their eyebrows at the idea of courses being taught predominantly online while in a physical school. So what would you say to those people?
They will be, absolutely. A lot of people are very curious about how this is going to work. Interestingly, the people who are completely unfazed by it are the young people whose normality is now an online existence, or this blended existence that we've been talking about. So we're sitting here today, 5 years after the second lockdown in the UK. I was working in the UK at the time, and we were all teaching online and struggling with emergency remote instruction. But when it ended, there was a beguiling idea that we could keep some of the elements of what we were doing during the pandemic, these so-called COVID keepers. The next step that everyone will go on to after school, of course, in university, will be blended. They'll be using technology. If they go straight into the world of work, or if they go to do a degree and then work, the world of work is also a blended working environment for the vast majority of professions. So yes, it'll be a unique sixth form experience for them, but will give them the credentials that they need to get where they need to go, and arguably even more relevant life skills for the life that they're going to have.
That's the principal of King William's College, Damien Henderson, talking to Amy there. It's coming up to 17 minutes past five. The Manx Wildlife Trust has secured a long-term lease on two areas of land next to its Hairpin Woodland Park near Ramsey. Now, this is a 95-year agreement with the Department of Infrastructure and covers almost 11 acres of developing broadleaf woodland and grassland. The charity says the site's an important natural asset and it will be protected and enhanced for future generations. Chief Executive Graham Makepeace-Warne has been telling Simon that securing the lease took years of work.
As it's so close to the site that we already have a 99-year lease with DEFA for the larger part of Hairpin Woodland Park and a few other parcels of land that we own outright. It seemed to make a lot of sense that we brought that into the same package, as it were. And as I say, we've been asking for sort of 8 years, but really the work is done by government. It's for them to ultimately decide that that's the best use for that land and create the paperwork, the lease, for us to do that.
And where exactly is it, and is it accessible to members of the public?
Yeah, very much so. And in fact, there's already a number of what we call desire lines, so footpaths that people use on a regular basis, dog walkers, people out walking around Clubin and the wider Hairpin Woodland Park.
Now, I understand this is being supported by the Rotary Club of Douglas. What's their involvement?
Well, they're helping to fund our work there. So we've been working with the Rotary Club of Douglas for a number of years now, and they are running a fundraising campaign on our behalf, working with 100 centurions to raise £1,000 each, raising obviously £100,000 to help us develop the site. Obviously, the work that we do isn't cheap. It doesn't come freely. So we need to buy materials, get contractors in, and we've done a lot of work on the site already to create our flagship engagement site. So a place where people can go and access nature in a really fun and enjoyable way that will make them want to come back out and get more involved in nature and want to understand it and learn more about it. And I think Hairpin Woodland Park does that really well.
That is Chief Executive of the Manx Wildlife Trust, Graham Makepeace-Warne, talking to Simon there. It's such a lovely area up around Ramsey Hairpin. It's coming up to 20 past five. Well, 22 Isle of Man residents will go to Cuba at the end of this month to take on a charity trek and also deliver much-needed medication to the country. In October, Hurricane Melissa devastated the areas with torrential rains and flooding. The charity trek is the seventh one taken on by Junior Achievement Isle of Man, as explained by Chief Executive Sue Cook.
Cuba has obviously been hit by the hurricane recently, and they are currently having problems with viruses that are mosquito-borne. And so we're taking a full case of medication with us, and we put a post out on Facebook. And the response has been really, really good. You know, general things that they need because they've got a severe shortage of things like paracetamol, ibuprofen, aspirin, bug spray, bite cream, the things that we take for granted.
So, you know, how did the idea for this charity trek to Cuba start?
We find it challenging to fundraise like most small charities do. So we wanted to do something completely different. So we've been working with this fabulous challenge company in the UK, and this will actually be our seventh charity trek. So the idea is that people sign up to take on a personal challenge, and whilst doing that, we'll raise money for Junior Achievement.
So you'll be doing that in Cuba, but you'll also be taking supplies with you as well?
Yes, we've done that in a couple of cases where we know countries potentially have got challenges. We'll take an extra case with us just to give to local people. So we've just launched our next charity trek, which will be October this year, and that's to Vietnam. It's an amazing adventure, and we're looking for people to sign up and take part in that as well. We've got an information session this Saturday at the Palace Hotel. People can find details on our Facebook page, Junior Achievement Isle of Man, but we welcome anybody else that might be interested in taking part in that trek. I'm 62, I'm not your average trekker, but it's a phenomenal experience. You travel with a group of like-minded people. It's suitable for solo travellers, couples, friends, and you're challenging yourself usually to do a five-day full-on trek. And depending on the location, the difficulty will vary, but anyone can do it. If they're willing to put the training in and have a go, it can quite literally be a life-changing experience. This is my third trek.
That is the Chief Executive of Junior Achievement Isle of Man, Sue Cook, talking to Chanel there. Well, residents across the island are being invited to take part in this weekend's Nobles Park Run as part of a special Bring a Friend campaign. So the free weekly event covers a 5 kilometre route that can be run, jogged or walk, and it takes place at more than 2,000 locations worldwide. And the event director Ali Kirby has been telling Chanel there's already been a boost in numbers following the Christmas Day run and the first event back last week.
There's a huge sense of community. Everybody is super friendly, is very inclusive, beneficial for mental health as well as physical health. And everybody, pretty much, I would say 99% of people that attend Parkrun absolutely love it. The community aspect is key for so many people. And yeah, it brings a lot of joy. We've definitely grown since we started it. So I think on the inaugural event, there was 108 people. Roughly now we average about 230 to 250 every week. We actually ran the event this year on Christmas Day and we had nearly 400, and we had loads of people registering just to take part in the Christmas Day event. It was epic. It was amazing. Everybody loved it. Everybody dressed up.
It's 2026. It's the start of the new year. You know, you get lots of people with New Year's resolutions. You get more New Year, new me. For the first park run that just passed, did y'all notice more new faces?
To be honest, I think doing the event on Christmas Day really boosted the numbers ready for the new year. But historically, we generally get a bit of a surge in January. I think lots of people are, you know, they've got their resolutions, they want to improve their fitness. And I think partly that's why Parkrun UK maybe brought out this initiative for Saturday the 10th, where you bring a friend to Parkrun, because it just encourages new people to come along, and maybe people that have never heard of us. Once you're registered for a park run, you literally can run or jog or walk or volunteer anywhere across the world.
We do get some groups that visit the island as well.
We get some groups that literally turn up to do park run. They will get on a really early ferry, or they'll book a flight. They'll fly in, do park run, go around the island for the day, and then head back home the same day or the following day. So obviously we're bringing a bit of tourism as well to the island.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Event director of the Nobles Park Run, Ali Kirby, talking to Chanel. Chanel is going to be running tomorrow, so there could be some video footage of that. Will you be there, Rob?
I won't be, but I have been tempted in the past.
Okay.
I've been tempted in the past, but it's clearly something that's become so popular, hasn't it?
It really has.
Particularly when you think about the pandemic as well and how many people started running. It's great to see.
It really is great to see. Well, Update Sport is brought to you by the Print Shed. So, Rob, what's happening?
So, first of all, after cup competition took the spotlight to start the year, the focus shifts again to league action in Manx football this weekend. Tomorrow promises a full programme of matches across the senior men's divisions, whilst the day after we'll see women's football get underway for the first time in 2026. On Saturday, Railway Cup champions Corinthians will be looking to maintain their four-point gap at the top of the Canada Life Men's Premier League when they travel to Douglas High School Old Boys. Elsewhere, Corinthians' nearest challengers Peel host Union Mills, with the Westerners still having two games in hand on the league leaders. In our Dun and Drug Unlimited Division 2, the battle continues at the summit between southern rivals Castletown and Colby, who are separated by just 2 points in first and second respectively. And on Sunday, as I mentioned, two more fixtures in women's football, specifically on the agenda at the Bowl in Douglas, will be the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup. You can see a full schedule of all of this weekend's Alabama football fixtures at manxradio.com. Elsewhere in rugby, a busy schedule is on the cards this weekend with no fewer than six Ireland teams in action on Saturday. In Regional 2 Northwest, Douglas will be hoping to bounce back after a tough run in December when they host Burnage at Portishee. Elsewhere, and after both of their opening matches of the year were postponed by poor weather last week, Ramsey and Vagabonds are back in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire action tomorrow. Ramsey host Hoylake at Morrow Park whilst Vagabonds head to Ormskirk. And there's also a first outing of 2026 for Vagabonds ladies. They head to face Macclesfield for the first time in women's NC2 North South. And in the local competitions, it's first versus second in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield as Douglas Celts face off against Western Vikings. Also getting underway for the year ahead of this weekend is the 2026 Isle of Man hockey season. The first matches of the men's and women's leagues get underway from just after 11 a.m. tomorrow morning and run throughout Saturday afternoon. Full details of those matches are available on our website. And finally, multiple Manx athletes are set to take part in the grueling spine race events in the UK from this weekend. Graham Hatchett and Phil Marshall will be involved in the fearsome 268-mile spine race from Sunday, whilst Peter Bradley will face the Spine Challenger North event from the same day. And before those, tomorrow afternoon sees Jane Rose and Jeff Quayle take on the Spine Sprint South. Well, separately, Oren Smith and Nicky Arthur, who've both enjoyed success at the event in the last 2 years, are not going to be involved this time around.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. We've just heard police are on the scene at a road traffic collision on Westmoreland Road in Douglas. The road is currently blocked at the moment, so if you are travelling home in that area, then do try and get an alternative route. We'll bring you all the details of that, so keep up to date on our Manx Radio social pages. Coming up next, it's a Friday Sport preview with Rob. Chris Kinney will then be here with Greatest Hits at 6:30 tonight. Then at 9, it's Jumping In with the Kane Brothers. Howard and Chris with you before Rhian Evans is here from 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a good one. Update will be back with you from 5 on Monday.